Assalamu alaikum. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Muriel Moore, and I am the Vice President for Public Service and Urban Affairs here at the University at Buffalo. On behalf of President William R. Greiner, I welcome you to UB. I want to extend a special welcome to the imams and other guests who traveled from other cities and states to join us here this evening. At this time, I would also like to take a moment to extend a special thanks to the sponsors of this evening's event, Cora P. Maloney College, whose headmaster is Dr. John Staley. And also extend a thank you to all of the very special co-sponsors and supporters that are listed on the back of your programs. These individuals and organizations are the ones that have made tonight's event possible. In addition, I want to thank Fadri Ansari, Iman of Masjid Newman, for hosting our guests this day and for making it an enjoyable and forgettable visit to the Western New York area. Before I introduce our guests this evening, I would like to welcome Honorable James W. Pitts to the stage. He is Buffalo Common Councilman and Majority Leader, and he will present a proclamation to our guests.
Assalamu alaikum. Tonight I have the distinct pleasure and honor of presenting something that we only give to very special people who come to our city. It is not a proclamation because we give proclamations to VIPs. The Imam is a person of outstanding quality and excellence. And his theme tonight, where's the light, where's the darkness? The only way you can do that is to open your eyes and tell what time it is. And what I would like to do is present to him on behalf of the City of Buffalo, that includes the Common Council, the Mayor, a watch that has the seal of the city. And we want him to take this in all that we can provide to you at this moment in thanking you and honoring you to come and give us these words of wisdom.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please give him the gospel to the council.
Yes, sir.
And to the mayor if you have a chance.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Pitts. I am truly honored to introduce our guest speaker this evening, Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Embodies the essence of the word visionary. He is a world-renowned spiritual leader, author, and lecturer. Through his service as the Muslim representative at the World Parliament of Religious Leaders in Oxford, his participation in the symbolic signing of the First Amendment Charter for Religious Freedom in Williamsville, Virginia, his address to the Islamic Conference on the Persian Gulf Conflict, and his delivery of a historical address at the Pentagon on Islamic fundamentals to military chaplains. The Imam has set the standard for enhanced communication and interreligious dialogue among people from all faiths. His message is one of universal human excellence, one that encourages all citizens to pursue their greatest human potential and to contribute to the social community development. And he encourages meaningful and genuine dialogue among Islamic, Christian, and Judaic leaders, always emphasizing tolerance, respect, and understanding between Muslims and other religious groups. The Imam holds a number of prestigious positions in the Muslim community. He is the Muslim American spokesperson for human salvation. He was elected International President of the World Conference on Religion and Peace. He serves on the Board of Directors for the Council for a Parliament of the World's Religions and is a member of the World Supreme Council of Mosques. In addition, the Imam was recognized by the Utnet Reader as one of the Utnet 100 Visionaries. He also has authored several well-respected and thought-provoking books, including Prayer and Al-Islam, Unity and Partnership, and he hosts a weekly television program called W.D. Muhammad and Guest on WJYS-TV in Chicago. In addition, the imam participated in Bill Clinton's inaugural interfaith prayer service and is the first Muslim to deliver an invocation in the United States Senate and to address the Georgia State Legislature. We at the University at Buffalo are indeed delighted to have the imam here this evening to speak to us, and I ask you to join me in welcoming Imam Dean W. Dean Muhammad to the University at Buffalo.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you. I think the Director of Public Relations and Public Service for her comments, and do hope that I can kind of settle down and deliver this address within the reasonable length of time, and then conclude it in a way that would satisfy those who have sponsored our presence here. We appreciate the opportunity, the honor, to come here and address this gathering on the campus. We appreciate the college, and also Imam Fajr Ansari, and the Muslim community here, and imams, and I repeat, all of the sponsor and co-sponsors for the event tonight. We always begin with the name of God, in whom we put our complete trust. We ask his blessings on our efforts, and we ask that he protect us and guide us and protect us so that we please him and serve the purpose for which he has created us. We always salute the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, the Prophet, with the traditional salute, the prayers and the peace be on him, and what follows of that traditional salute to our Prophet. I'll be speaking on the topic, where is the darkness and where is the light? But I would first like to acknowledge that there are Americans, I'm aware, and they are more than the average person would think. There are many Americans in our country, in our big troubled cities, and everywhere in the small towns who are not hurt by the darkness or by the light, but are looking at what is happening in our society today and are understanding very well what is behind it. And there are many thoughts that come to mind, that come to my mind with the expression, the topic, where is the darkness, where is the light? The first time I heard that expression was at the reception and the program that was planned or put on by Utney Reader and to recognize 100 visionaries that it had selected or identified as visionaries. And the topic that they chose for us to address, the visionaries, was this topic, where is the darkness and where is the light? And I don't know if somehow my concern in my soul reached you all the way over here in Buffalo or not, but I really was hoping that I would have more time to address the topic. They limited our presentation to about, well, they said, can you keep it at 2 minutes? If not, please don't go over 3.5 minutes. So you know you can't say too much about where is the darkness and where is the light, and that's short time. And most of them didn't respect the time limit on them. I did. You know, always that good black man that respects everything. And when everything is over, he said, well, nobody, look, I'm the only one that respected the time. I wasn't the only one, but I was almost the only one that respected a lot of time that was given to us and had my little say in that time. Within 2 minutes, I was finished. but tonight I have the opportunity to say more, and I thank you for this opportunity. You know, it should be obvious to most of us who have religious background where the darkness is and where the light is. The darkness is first of all in wrongdoings and in ignorance. Ignorance of God's way for the religious people, and wrongdoings are sin. All of this darkness. In Islam, we are in religion, I would say, what we can't see may be termed a situation or a condition in darkness or under darkness because we can't see completely. I can't see clearly. I can't see at all, maybe. but at the same time, what we can't see completely or to our satisfaction sometimes is what supports everything else, even everything else we do see. And I'm talking about faith in God for religious people. We have faith in God, and none of us have seen God, not with these eyes, these physical eyes. And none of us have completely understood God. That is God's self, God's person. And this is supported by Scripture, that we don't have the ability or access to his or into his person, but he has access into the persons of all of his creatures. So that's what makes God God and us not God. One of the things that make God God and us not God. So I would like to first acknowledge that there is some darkness that is not all bad. And we're told that God is the one who started the darkness, began the darkness, the rotation of night and day, and the light. He is the one who started, or made and started, the rotation of darkness and light. And darkness and light, darkness before light, darkness is given here before light, the darkness and the light. And we know that God has created us to have a nature to obey without questioning, to obey without knowledge, to support or to explain our obedience. What infant would question obedience to its nature, its infant nature that God created it with, to depend on his mother, to trust his mother or her mother, etc.? So we know that darkness is not always bad. We want to make that clear, that when we're talking about darkness, we're not necessarily talking about something that's bad. Darkness causes us to have fear, especially when we are in a darkness that we don't know. It's naturally something that causes us to have fear. But we can't say that darkness is bad because it arouses in us a fear. Because we know fear, whereas sometimes fear can be a holdback. We know that fear has a role in human life and in the life of society that is good and that has accounted for a lot of good behavior and good respect, etc., that has all made for a better world, better families. If we didn't have any fear in us, we wouldn't be as civilized or as good as we think ourselves to be. So darkness is not necessarily a bad thing. Darkness is a good thing on one side and a bad thing on the other side. And this is true also of light. Light can also be bad. And, you know, Scripture, we don't have the exact language in the Quran, but in the Bible, the light of the world is distinguished from revealed light or the light of God. So the light of the world, then, is not a good light. God's light is a good light. Now, I think the reasoning that I'm going to give at this time, in an attempt to explain what is meant by the world's light and revealed light or God's light, it's also found in the Bible and found in the great religions. And that is this, that really the creation of God, the system of matter, this universe, this objective world, is not in itself sinful or something to contribute to our sins. It is ignorance that in us that caused us to suffer bad consequences in our interaction with the external reality. The darkness that Allah has created, that God created, is good. The darkness of night is good. In fact, no night is without light. Clouds may, as it happens during the day, clouds may block our view. But the clear night is filled with lights. The stars. And God says of that night, the night, that He made it for us to have rest therein, for rest. And the day He made for activities or livelihood. Activities or livelihood. So where is this darkness and where is this light? It is with God. That is the darkness that God created. And that is the light that God created. For us, ignorance is darkness. The absence of faith is darkness. And faith, which may suggest to us darkness too, as some say, blind faith. But all of us are required to appreciate a certain amount or a certain measure of automatic, instant obedience to God. And that's dictated by faith in God and could be called in that measure that we are doing that in, blind faith or darkness. You know, when I was really under the burden of the concept of black skin, etc. I was curious, and I did a lot of reading, a lot of study, and I found in the Quran language that could depress, cause someone to be depressed, but language also to uplift the spirit. Concepts are the terms for darkness. And I finally came to the point of really understanding that language is language, and because a word may be used in a way not pleasing to the person who identifies with that word or that term, is not enough really to make that person uncomfortable if that person searched the text and see how that term is used in the whole of the text. And that's what I did. So I searched the text and see and saw how darkness or black faces was used in the whole of the text, and I came to the conclusion that there is good meaning for darkness and blackness and bad meanings. Then later I learned that in the Arabic language, that the Arabic language shows or reveals that at one time in the history of that Arabian people or Arab people, darkness meant for them something noble, a mark of nobility, or proof of nobility. Now we know they are not black-skinned. They are mixed in color like we are here in this audience. Some very light white, some brown, some in between, and a few black are very dark. The term Sayyid in Arabic means Mr., and Sayyid also can mean master. The root from which the word is derived is black. Is black. And I believe that we would search very carefully, we would find this to be true of many civilizations or many societies of the world, that one time in their history, black was a positive term and not a negative term. Nothing has accounted for the dawning of the intellect and the expansion of the mind as much as the viewing of the skies, the heavens, at night, the stars against the black background or the black canopy of the sky or the black canopy of night, the night sky. We have the story of Prophet Abraham, Prophet Ibrahim in Quranic Arabic, how he studied this great system we call the universe, searching for something that would indicate for him what is the reality, what is really God. And he studied the starry sky during the night. And all night long he was viewing and studying the heavens, seeking those answers until the morning and the sun rose, and he was so impressed with the brilliance of the sun that he said, this must be a god. But he stayed there searching as a person with a mind orientated to appreciate science, objective truths would do. He didn't make any conclusion hastily. The story goes that he stayed until the sun began to set. And he said, no, this cannot be my God. My God is not one to set. And he made his conclusion that nothing he had observed in the external world, the stars, the sunrise, and all that, was God. But behind that great, beautiful scheme we call the universe or the creation of God, he saw a cause, he saw a unity in it, and he reasoned that there must have been a single factor, a single designer for that great external world, our universe. And he concluded that none of these things I'm looking at is God, but the designer behind all of this, the planner behind all of this, the creator of all of this is God. That was his conclusion. But how did he begin to arrive at that conclusion? I repeat, he began because he was attracted to the starry canopy of the night. That's how he came into that awareness. And God tells us in Scripture that there is a sign that he create us in darkness, three veils of darkness, while we are in the wombs of our mother. He create us in the darkness, and he deliver us into the night. And no one would think that that darkness was a punishment. It was a darkness that protected us while we were being created. So I invite my African-American brothers and sisters in the race, in African-American people, in the black people, to appreciate this. And if you would appreciate this, you'd be healed if you still have some problems with colors. We shouldn't have any problems with colors. White to me is white. It's not me, necessarily. Black to me is black. It's not me, necessarily. I'm not the black man that white people hate. I don't know the black man that white people hate. They'll have to tell me where that black man is that they hate just because he's black. I don't know where he is. I don't see people hating people because of their skin color. I see people using skin color as an excuse to hate, as a cover for what they really hate. And it's the same for blacks. None of us hate people because they're white. We have blacks that hate whites. But we don't hate them. We think we might think that. We have put ourselves in the habit of thinking that way. So we think we hate them because their skin is white, but we don't. In fact, some of you, I know you don't, because you want to get with a white woman. I've met some of you myself that say you hate white man, but you want his woman. She's just as white as he is. So if it's really the white that you hate, you shouldn't want his woman either. One brother, he covered it all up. He said, I just want to punish him. I say, well, don't enjoy the punishment that you're putting on him. We have